Now, get ready for Uncensored Sports Madness. It's Dave in the City on Lux of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Lux of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Let him play!
And it comes time, we know how Lincoln dies, you know, a tough spot with a bullet.
And as I speak to you, they are showing a Mongo USA fan at the World Baseball Classic, chanting USA.
Actually, this Paul Davis a lot.
Ooh.
First thing you've got to mention here is the additions of Syracuse and Pitts, which is like adding two turds to a lawn.
No one puts the WGCs in the Players' Championship anywhere on the same level as a major fight. Chill out with that.
I actually never knew what meme was, and I always thought it was just MA. And
I wonder what it is like living out there on Saturn.
She was gorgeous, man. This girl was really good looking. And I'm like, holy, is that so-and-so? And I'm seeing him doing a body shot off her, and he's hammered. He turns around, he's like, I love this place.
You know, round apple with the Orioles lettering on it.
They should put the Orioles one in the river.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Lux of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show. Good evening, how are you tonight from West Side of L.A., Santa Monica, California? Had a momentary time warp. Take me back to the year 2009. When the Colts, with Peyton Manning, made it to the Super Bowl and faced the New Orleans Saints. And you remember that one? The Saints counted out the entire week for that Super Bowl. Super Bowl 44 in South Beach. And who ended up victorious in that game? It was the Saints in that one. But this year, another Super Bowl will be decided. And to get there, once again, you've got Peyton Manning leading a team to the charge. But I feel like things are going to be a little different this year for Peyton Manning. Here's why. Now, nothing they did on this weekend really led me to believe this. I didn't think they played that well this weekend. I didn't think they were that good. I just thought that San Diego team had nothing with the win and everything else. They could not move the ball. And Phillip Rivers just wasn't doing that well. I think it wasn't so much that he was playing anything particularly badly. He just wasn't willing to throw the ball down the field. I don't know if that's the game plan or if it's just the fear of turning it over or just the respect for the wind that was going down in Mile High. But it just didn't happen. So anyway, before I get into all this, I should tell you that tonight on the program we are expected to be joined by Kevin on the Cape along with a host of potential others. I invited, say hello to Otis, Andy in Seattle, and Tom in New Jersey to join us in hour number two for random questions tonight. But all of them and Kevin on the Cape should be on the air with us here on the show. It should be a really fun affair. Looking forward to all of it on the program. Hope everybody thinks well with you tonight. In hour one, we'll be joined by Jacob Rosales to break down the divisional round and preview this weekend's conference championship games. In these conference championship games, we will be seeing, first, the aforementioned Denver Broncos against the New England Patriots. And then, in the second half of the doubleheader, the San Francisco 49ers against the Seattle Seahawks in a showdown of two teams that just cannot stand each other up there in the Pacific Northwest. That's going to be such a good game. And I will tell you a little bit more about it, and Jacob will tell you a little bit more about it in just a few minutes. 7:07 in the West, 10:07 in the East. We'll work our way towards 11 o'clock in the East and 8 o'clock in the West, and we'll segue to random questions once we get through all that. It'll be a good hour, though. I'm looking forward to talking about football for this hour. So back to Peyton Manning for a second. They didn't do anything particularly impressive against the Chargers, but they did win the game, and they were doing and Manning had a good game. It wasn't Manning's fault necessarily. It's just that it was so weird. It was just that they didn't have the offense that could put away San Diego on that day. But San Diego looked like they had no shot at winning that game. They never really felt like they had a look at the game until it seemed like it was out of hand already in the fourth quarter. And it took an onside kick, which they recovered. And it took another, it took finally a drive that stalled for Denver for the moment, lending to a 3rd-and-17, which they converted because nobody was covering the receiver in the flat. The guy on the edge did not get covered at all. Nobody was even next, was near the guy. So that pretty much sealed the game for Denver. And even though San Diego really just didn't have much life in them on that day, they never really had any legitimate, you know, any legitimate opening to take the lead. I mean, they were close to tying on a couple of occasions, but you never got the feeling from the Chargers that they were actually going to be a player in this game. So that was a little unfortunate. I was expecting the Chargers to be a bigger player, but they did nonetheless lose a game by only 7 points at Mile High. The Denver Broncos, your winner. Previous to that, in the divisional round, you had three other games, which had varying levels of excitement and theater. Let's start from the beginning, actually, instead of stepping backwards. We'll start with the first game of the weekend, and that was the Saints at the Seahawks. Personally, I think the Seahawks had those guys beat defensively. Those guys were finished. They were not going anywhere. Nothing was going to happen. I mean, that was pretty much the game, and we were pretty much done with that one. So you would think that's what it seemed like anyway at the half, but then the Seahawks were sitting on those 16 points for the rest of the second half, and the Saints finally started to chip away at the lead, and then they got it down to 8 after they finally scored a touchdown, and the score was 16-8. It wasn't like the Seahawks were up by 30 points. The fact that they didn't even try to score on or play more aggressively was really disappointing. Or Russell Wilson just wasn't doing it for the team on a consistent level. I mean, he didn't really throw well at all. He threw like 108 yards. It really wasn't that impressive. And I gotta be honest, I felt like even though the Seahawks had been probably the odds-on favorite to win the conference, they might have had the least impressive performance of the weekend. I really thought so. I mean, these guys were just not, they weren't doing it for me. I mean, it's like, okay, they got a lead, and their defense is certainly still pretty good, but they can't consistently get points. And I think that if you shut out Marshawn Lynch, I think you're going to start having problems, because Russell Wilson's been looking pretty bad recently. This goes back about a month. I mean, they were struggling against the Cardinals to score points and put away the game, and then they lost on their home field. It took a while for them to get any traction against the Rams. And then after about a quarter, they did. And now here against the Saints, who seem to be showing a more improved defense, they were really struggling there too. So that was game one. Game two of the weekend, another game which didn't impress me. And the reason it didn't impress me was because even though the Patriots were scoring on the Colts almost at will, they could not put away the Colts on the other end. And so the game went back and forth, but the reason it wasn't impressive was because nobody had control of that game. Nobody could stop the other until finally Andrew Luck just threw one too many interceptions and gave the Patriots the final edge that they needed, the cushion that they were seeking all night. Finally, the Patriots went on to win that one by about at least 10. So that was that. On to Sunday. This is probably the most entertaining game of the weekend. Niners at Carolina Panthers. And I'll tell you what, the Niners really had a resilient effort because it was a real struggle in the first half. And Cam Newton was getting off some pretty exciting, pretty amazing passes to receivers downfield. Smith was a part of that journey, but you definitely could tell he was not at 100%. He did all right. He certainly wasn't as bad as 57%. I think that was a little bit of a misnomer. But they were doing okay. Brandon LaFell was in on that action somewhat. But, you know, eventually the lack of weapons offensively started to catch up with them. Because in the second half, Niners took over. And their defense looked great. And Kaepernick, even though he had his early struggles, made some pretty big passes down the field, down the rest of the way. And their running game eventually took over. But most importantly, their defense just held it in check. And the game really turned at the end of the first half when Kaepernick had that pass to, wow, I don't remember. I think it was Anquan Boldin in the end zone, dragged his foot, and kept it in bounds. And they didn't call it a touchdown initially, which surprised me because it looked like, I thought maybe they didn't do it because they thought his foot was out of bounds, but and you could see on the replay, it was actually pretty clear that his feet were in bounds when he made the catch. The catch was never an issue to me. I thought that he had full possession of it, except at the very end when he bobbled. But by then, I would have thought the touchdown was in hand. But anyway, the point is they reversed the call. The Niners got the touchdown. They went ahead 13-10. Because I was thinking the game was going to be like 13. I thought the game was going to be like 10-9, as it was in the regular season matchup at Candlestick. But instead, the Niners got a touchdown from that, and they won that game. And then they took the lead 13-10, and then that was that. I think they won the game 23-10. And they looked to me, and I'm sorry to say this as we bring on our friend Jacob Rosales, but I really thought that they had the best performance out of all the teams in divisional round weekend. It was really impressive. So now you can see the Niners going to Seattle with a good head on their shoulders and a little bit of steam behind them. I think that they have a real shot to make this game very interesting. Very interesting. How interesting? Well, let's turn to our friend Jacob Rosales for the answers. Jake, we come to you here from Santa Monica. You come to us from San Francisco on this third straight NFC Championship. Jacob, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, no, everything's good. Everything's good, man. How's everything going for you?
You know, it's been great. I mean, I've been enjoying the playoffs this year. We had the feeling that it would be it would be wide open this year. But you know, the funny thing, you know, a lot of the teams that we thought were going to get to the championship round are in the championship round, top seeds in both the NFC and the AFC. So, yeah, what that usually means is you're going to get some pretty good football. I feel like that's what's going to happen here. So let's first talk about the journey to get there, and you know, bubble up the excitement. How are you feeling? What's the story and the vibe up north in the Bay Area?
Well, I guess the whole regular season was pointless because I mean, I know everybody's kind of been talking about it, but it's true. Like, it's the one year where you just go, all right, so a number two seed got knocked out, but it really wasn't much of an upset.
Right.
You know, the Niners are actually favored slightly in Vegas. And I think a lot of people thought that they could win this game. And I mean, obviously Carolina was a tough team and all that, but no one's shocked that it's coming down to these two teams. No one's shocked that it's coming down to New England and Denver. It's kind of what you would have thought probably would have happened. You know, in terms of the 49ers, obviously we can get that to a little bit later on the personal stuff. This playoffs, this championship weekend, this Sunday, has the potential to be one of the more historic, more memorable championship game weekends in history, in NFL history. And I'm not just saying because I'm a Niner fan, but you know, you got Manning and you got Brady on one side. You know, you got Belichick. Obviously, he's what he's doing, and I honestly think he might be doing his best job he's ever done in his entire career. Just guys are falling, dropping like flies in terms of injuries on defense. You know, they're starting to run the football better, and they've gone away from the pass game as their primary thing, which has got them where they've been the last few years. You know, their defense, again, like, it just keeps trucking along, and it's got them there to the AFC Championship game. And you got Peyton Manning on the other side, who's just obviously had one of the most historic quarterbacking seasons in the history of the league. And it's Peyton and it's Tom Brady all over again. Like, it's just a kid. Can you really top that? And yes, you can, because you're probably getting a much more intense, a lot more tension going into this game, a bigger rivalry in terms of the two fan bases and the two teams in the 49ers and the Seahawks. I mean, can you really beat Anquan Boldin and Crabtree, these physical receivers, going up against Richard Sherman and the rest of that secondary, who's also extremely physical? Marshawn Lynch going up against Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, you know, two of the best inside linebacker duo probably we might ever see in the NFL. Jesus, I mean, this is just strength on strength. These two teams are going to just beat the shit out of each other. And, can we really get much better than these two games this weekend? Can you imagine? Is there another going into the weekend Can you imagine a bigger, two more hype games in the same day happening for the championship games? And I can't remember in my recent history, obviously. I know you're a little bit better at this sort of thing, remembering more of the historical stuff. But this is a great weekend. I think we have a great chance of looking back on it and really going, you know, it could be a fantastic game, like a couple of games. And even if they're not great games, the implications are still going to be pretty huge going forward. So, obviously, outside of just, you know, who plays in the Super Bowl next week.
Oh, it's a great.
Yeah,
this is a great combination of not only great matchups, which are really closely put together, but incredible storylines. I mean, you've described it perfectly. I mean, you're talking about, first of all, I love that the Manning Brady matchup is first, because I really think that the second game, the NFC game, is probably going to be the one that gets that much more intense. Just because, like we said, that these guys just cannot stand each other. It goes all the way back to when the two coaches were in college. And you had the what's your deal game back when one was at Stanford and one was at SC. So that rivalry has been going on for years. And it's just going to be a treat to see all of it go down on this particular weekend. Three of those teams are on the West Coast. Fortunately, in the NFL, it's not really affected by the whole West Coast, East Coast thing. I think these are games we all can
enjoy. I didn't realize that Denver was on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's close enough. I mean, Mountain cool. Time Zone, that's it's cool. It's only one time zone away. Not that much different.
Yeah, no.
You're going to get on me for that?
They could just throw a rock and hit the ocean. You're right. They're right there. I get what you're saying. I get it.
Let's say Western.
I think the ratings are going to be through the roof for both these games, though.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, obviously, you got Brady Manning. Mm-hmm. It's going to be insane. I mean, I get the feeling that game's really going to end up not being close. But we could talk about that a little bit. But just in terms of just people are going to want to watch this game. This may be the last Brady Manning playing for something that actually matters game. And then the next game, I mean, what was the Sunday night rating for that game in week two for the 49ers and the Seahawks?
Oh, that's a
it
great.
It was through the roof.
It was unbelievable. I mean, ratings altogether have been really great. I guess I could dig that up. It'll take a minute, but I'll get that number for you.
It was high. I know that. It was a very high number, and I think people want to watch this game. I mean, even if the West Coast game generally doesn't get good high ratings, you know, just in any sport really. I don't know if you remember the Giants Angels World Series. Let's see, there was. Really, any West Coast team that gets in there. I mean, I know the Steelers, your team, they kind of held up that Arizona, Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh, Seattle Super Bowl ratings a little bit. But it's not, those games weren't really huge. When Green Bay played Pittsburgh, oh my goodness, it was huge ratings.
Yeah.
The point is that these two teams, their coaches, the storylines, how physical these teams are, how much you could tell they really don't actually like each other. And it's not just that, you know, this isn't Floyd Mayweather talking trash about the other boxer to get hyped up and get, you know, more pay-per-view vibes. They really don't like each other, these teams. And you could hear it in their voices. You see it in their interviews. Richard Sherman was saying it today, you know, there's no love lost and there's no love found was actually the quote he said. Like, they really don't like each other. It shows in the field. They're fun games to watch. That the end of the season game in San Francisco was a fantastic game. And if it's anything close to that, it's going to be a great game. And people want to watch this rivalry. It's probably the best rivalry in sports right now. And just to be clear, Richard Sherman is an asshole. No matter what anybody says on the comment boards, he's a prick. And nobody should like him. And anybody who does is a weirdo, especially if they happen to be an Eagles fan. Just throwing that out there. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, okay. That is fortuitous timing, I think.
No, I saw the chat board.
You saw the chat? You saw the chat? Okay, I was...
Yeah.
That is too funny, Mr. Jacob. But getting to the games themselves, I think we can start with the AFC game. I mean, like you said, this could be the last playoff meeting. The last playoff meeting before this actually was quite a while ago. The last time these two teams met in the playoffs was, I think it was 2006. 2006! championship game.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, 21 points down the Colts were. They made the comeback on their home field. Apparently, I think the home team has won almost all the games. I think when Peyton Manning has a game at home, he wins the game against Tom Brady. But again, the last matchup was so long ago, a lot of things have changed with both guys and their respective teams since then. For example, the New England Patriots are now more of a running team than they've ever been. They run the ball well. They're really good at running the ball. And the Broncos actually have some pretty legitimate weapons as well. Play really well at home, and they can even play in cold weather. Obviously, it's an open-air field. So that's for some of those things that used to carry with those two guys kind of go out the window. So what are your initial thoughts about this matchup?
Well, you know, obviously you got two of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game and probably the two best quarterbacks of this generation going at it, and we know what they're capable of. What I find interesting is, you know, since they've really played for something that's meaningful, it's been a lot of one-and-dones for both these guys. You know, you don't have – you haven't had these teams like, you know, obviously in 2007, they were a great football team, the Patriots. Went undefeated all the way through to the Super Bowl and really barely lost that game. They were pretty close. But that was a long time ago when you really look at that team. And you mentioned it, they're more of a running team now. But even to start the season, did you really think that?
No, we didn't. I mean, it really developed over time.
Turned into a running team.
Absolutely.
You know, they've actually installed more of a running game. I mean, I don't know if you remember. I remember watching the first game of the season. He had a guy fumble in Buffalo and got pulled. Like, they were down to guys that they did not trust. Now they trust them. You know, LeGarrette Blount has came in, and he's really kind of established that more power running type team. They got three or four guys down there now that they actually do have faith in to be able to put them on the field and hand off the ball. They had, what, six rushing touchdowns the other day against the Colts? I mean, we're talking about the Colts here, so it's not exactly the most impressive thing in the world. But my point is that they didn't put everything on Tom Brady's shoulders. They didn't expect that. And I think that makes them a lot more dangerous than what I would have thought about at the beginning of the season. I felt like they were just kind of the same team that they were last year in a weak division. You know, they'll win their division. It's no problem. You know, they'll get to the playoffs, and they'll probably lose to a better defense, and it's just Tom Brady and Bill Belichick just can't carry the team because they don't have enough depth. I still don't think they have a lot of depth, but in terms of running the football with that offensive line, they figured something out. They're doing something right. That makes them a lot more dangerous than I thought before. On the other hand, you got the Broncos who, you know, yeah, I get it. Von Miller's out. They lost another corner this week. Champ Bailey is still a solid player, but he's not exactly the stud he used to be. Their defense is suspect. I understand that. That's why they got beat by the Patriots earlier in the season. You know, Brady just came back on them, and they were able to take advantage. But the Broncos can outscore anybody, and that always is going to make them dangerous because they have Peyton, and they can just outscore you. The three times where they really have not been that effective offensively this year on a consistent basis throughout the game was all three games against the Chargers. And they found a way to win this past weekend. They lost one of those games, and they won another one of those games. Like, that's the only team that seems to be able to slow them down. Whatever it is that they do, they've been able to slow Peyton down, and Peyton still found a way. You got to believe in Bill Belichick that he's going to try to duplicate that. He's going to try to slow them down, and they got Brady, they got a running game, and they're going to try to slow the game down. And they have the ability to do that where I think all of us thought that they did not have beforehand. We felt like they were a lot like the Broncos in that sense, just outscore you. That's how they're going to win. They're going to win a lot of games. They're going to beat a lot of bad teams and push them around and win those type of games. Now they look dangerous because they can actually establish a run game. And they don't have to depend on Brady all the time. So that's fun. I mean, that makes the game interesting. In terms of Peyton Manning, you know, I've talked about this before with you guys. You know, it's a high-variance type style football team that they have there. They're going after sacks. They're going after turnovers. And offensively, it's Peyton, 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 Peyton. However, he's got a ton of weapons, and they still got no Sean Moreno, still got Monte Ball. They can still run the football. They can still, you know, do these little dump-off passes and just beat you up little by little by little if they have to and go deep. I mean, it's – I don't think it's going to be a shootout, but I think that the Broncos probably want to get into a shootout because I feel like they think they probably have a pretty good chance against Brady this year. I think that's going to be the chess match. How – who wins the field position game, who makes the least amount of mistakes. And that's fun because that means you've got two quarterbacks that are the best at what they do going after each other. And I can't – I'm excited about that game, and I don't even give a shit who wins.
I don't know a lot of – and at the end of the day, I wouldn't either. But I think if I had to favor one team, I would favor Denver. First of all, the Patriots have been to the Super Bowl enough. But I mean, it would be nice to see – I mean, it would be cool for Tom Brady's legacy if he made it anyway. But I just mean to say that what I mean by that is that I think this is going to be a great opportunity for Denver. My point is that Denver hasn't even made the Super Bowl since Elway's last Super Bowl in 1998. That's almost 15 years ago now. It might actually be, in fact, that is exactly 15 years.
Game,
that's
right?
15 seasons ago. Yeah, the Robinson game, the Falcons and all that. And yeah, Dirty Bird. Remember that?
The Dirty Bird. Hated the Dirty Bird. Yeah, I remember the Dirty Bird. I remember it vividly.
Yep.
Thanks for bringing it up, buddy.
The Garrison. Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry, man. No, I couldn't stand it either because I just thought that was a little. I don't know if it's dirty, whether you call it dirty pool or just a bad accident, but that was. Well, whatever the Falcons did to the Niners and Garrison Hurst that game, ridiculous. But. I know. The Falcons did.
I mean, hey, look. Look, I mean, the Falcons, they had a great quarterback in, I don't remember who gave
Chandler
about that team. They were awful. I don't know. No, I know his name. I know his name.
Yeah, you know his name.
I don't actually care.
Yeah.
Really? Like, come on.
Well,
like,
neither did the Broncos that night, that day. They got their butts kicked in that game.
Who cares? Like, it's like, that was such a bullshit game.
It was
like,
such a bad
and
game.
And it sucked because the year before was such a great game.
True.
Against Green Bay.
True.
It was a fantastic one of the best Super Bowls, one of my favorite Super Bowls, even though, you know, either team won. I guess I was rooting against the Packers back then because it was Brett Favre and all that.
Yeah. Packers had that thing.
I'm a Niner fan, so I hate
in the 90s.
I hate Packers.
Yep.
I'm just happy that the Packers get to actually, you know, those fans out there in that organization, they get to feel a little bit about what us Niner fans felt.
Little payback, right? Is that
the 49ers had their number, and it feels good. It feels real good. And they had our number then, too. So
they
it
did.
Is what it is, I guess.
Turnabout is fair play, as they say. And, you know, I wonder if that'll be the case for Manning here against the New England Patriots, who had beaten them and beaten them and beaten them with his Colts. Maybe it'll be different with a Denver uniform. So I'm kind of rooting for Denver for that reason, though, the freshness of it. Denver being in a Super Bowl.
If I had to pick a side, I'd have to probably go for the Patriots because I feel like the Niners have a better shot against them if they happen to get past Seattle.
Well, you can't go wrong, though. I mean, I no disrespect to the Patriots, by the way, when I said that. I mean, I really like the fact that they're running the ball now. Actually, that was major kudos to them for that.
I said it earlier, I think Belichick is doing his best job in his entire career.
Yeah.
I think Brady's doing one of his best jobs in his career this year, too. The
numbers
aren't there, you know, but he's been the glue. They really, any other team with another coach, with another quarterback, might not have survived this year with everything that happened. It's been pretty impressive to watch Brady do what he's done and see what Belichick's been able to put together. And, it you know, you just can't ever really count him out. Like, I really do feel like the Broncos are the better football team. And I think Peyton's going to exercise some of those demons of his, you know, he always loses against, you know, Peyton Manning. He always loses against Tom Brady. You know, he can never win those. What was terrible in the playoffs. I think he's going to exercise those demons, and I think he's going to win this weekend. But – the way the Patriots have been playing lately, I don't think it's going to be nearly as easy as I would have thought it would have been. I'm not comfortable picking the Broncos, put it that way. Where I think if it was 4 or 5 weeks ago or 2 months ago, and if you told me it's going to be those two teams in the AFC Championship game, A, I wouldn't have been shocked, and B, I would have thought, oh, Denver's probably going to easily win that game, even after they lost that comeback win to the Patriots.
Well, it's always funny to see what a guy like Belichick has up his sleeve. That's why I think when it's all said and done, he'll be in the Hall of Fame, no question about it. If this is not his best season, it's certainly a top season of his career. I mean, it's easy to win when you get all the talent. They don't have that kind of talent this year. It's just a different year for them. I mean, they've been struggling to find people to throw the ball to. They did find Julian Edelman, though, as their possession receiver. Doing a really good job, actually. They got all that money to get Danny Amendola, and it's Edelman who ends up getting in the catches for him instead. So it's a great job by out of everybody there in New England. This will be a good game. I'm with you, though. I think Peyton Manning gets it done. I really don't think the whole, especially after last week, the whole playoff choke thing applies. It's not going to be cold. It's as warm as you could possibly have for a Denver AFC title game. I mean, I really like the Denver Broncos in this game. I really like them. And again, it's not like they're going to win by like 50 points, but I do like them to win, and I feel like they'll have control of the game too. But like you said, you know, just you're always thinking about it. What does Belichick and Brady have up their sleeves? You never know. All right, so let's see. Last 30 minutes. That's prime time.
Well, I know what you want to talk about.
Yeah, there's only one thing to talk about.
I know you want to talk about it. First, number one, the most important, the demise of Javaris, what's his name? The old Lakers point guard that got drafted a few years back. I know you want to talk about that. I know that's big on your mind right now. I know you want to talk about Clayton Kershaw right now. You know, that's a big contract he signed. And, of course, the Baseball Hall of Fame. I know. So, look, let's get into it. Let's delve in. Let's go.
Hour two. Tonight, with you, we must get into the NFC title game. This is the game that everybody in football is talking about. In addition to the other game, this will be a really good one. Again, we've already stipulated what's on the line, what's with the bragging rights in play. I mean, you've got a lot of history that could be made with just this one game. So you look at the matchup, it's very even. The defenses in this game are tremendous. Both of them are great against the run. Both of them have good special teams, very good special teams. You don't really hear about Hanschka or do you guys have Phil Dawson now? Yeah, or him missing a field goal. So it really comes down to quarterback play. Who's going to outperform who in this game? You would have to think that Kaepernick would have the better ceiling here in this matchup because we just haven't been seeing good quarterback play out of Russell Wilson lately. So how do you see the matchup?
Well, first of all, I'll say this. I think in any year, if we were watching the 49ers right now, you know, that 8-game winning streak, a couple of tight, real close playoff-like wins, you know, against Seattle, against Arizona, one on the home, one on the road, the game against Green Bay in almost 0-degree weather. You know, that was a big win last week. It wasn't like a close win or anything like that, but it really showed how dominant they've been playing. They've put it together. They're healthy. I think in any other year, you're looking at this team, they're going to the Super Bowl. They look unstoppable. There's no one going to beat them, at least until the Super Bowl. But in this year, you where they're going and who they're playing, it gives you pause to think that way. And I think that's something that I find very, very interesting. Just because I think right now the 49ers are playing better, but I think Seattle is slightly a better football team overall. And they got the home field advantage. They're the best. In my opinion, they've been the two best teams in football this year. I know the Niners had their ups and downs. Seattle had some close wins early on in the season. They've struggled lately. You talked about the quarterback play, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think they're the two best teams in football. And it had to come down to these two teams in the NFC, and I'm glad it did, especially in the NFC Championship game. I think a lot of Niner fans would love to see them lose, and the Niners avoid this game. I think this makes sense. This is perfect. This is the way it should have been. And if you're a Niner fan, in my opinion, you should be rooting for this game, and we got it. And if they end up pulling it out, great. If they don't, that's football. I mean, what are you going to do? But I think that that's one thing that I will mention. In terms of, I know you've talked a little bit about Russell Wilson and his he's not been playing all that great. I'm going to be perfectly blunt with you, and I've been clear about this quite a bit. I don't think he's that good to begin with. I don't think he's that much of a difference maker to begin with. I saw Peter King make a possible Drew Brees comparison if he continues to move the way he's moving, and I just don't see that. I think that he's a very good quarterback. I think that he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and he keeps his team in it. And then when he needs to take it to that next level, he's extremely capable of doing that. The most important part of that, what I just said, is that he's never really put this team out of a game. So I don't think that that's really something that if you're Seattle fans, you should worry about. Russell Wilson's play and him not playing all that great. I think that's kind of an overrated topic being talked about a little bit too much. And it's mostly because people want to compare these two young quarterbacks. In the other game, you've got the NFL's past and present, two of the great quarterbacks, and I think a lot of people want to see these two young guys have a similar type rivalry, especially considering they're in the same division against what's turning into a pretty big rivalry in terms of these two teams. It's not really historically a rivalry, but it's turned into it. I think people want that. That's why they're talking about it. I think it's really overrated. This team hasn't depended on Russell Wilson in that way for the last two seasons.
No, that's good. That's good. That's
they
good.
Just haven't.
That's good that you bring that up.
They,
yeah.
They did in Atlanta because they needed him to step up, and he stepped up. And they almost won that game. They did it in Washington. They were down by 14 points. It did help that RG3 was down, but they came back and they won that game. Early in the season when they had a lot of tight losses, What pulled them out? What pulled them out? Richard Sherman getting an interception return for a touchdown off Matt Schwab. I think it was D'Angelo Williams fumbling in the red zone inside the 10-yard line against Carolina in week one. I mean, things like that. It's the defense that stepped up. The special teams, they got a great coverage unit. They're great in return game. They're all around, they're a fantastic football team. They do exactly what the 49ers have been doing for the last 3 years, and that's field position, run the football, don't make a lot of mistakes, and just defensively just be overbearing on the offense. None of that includes Russell Wilson as the primary guy that's going to pull them along. And it's just the way the 49ers have done it with Colin Kaepernick at some point, and just the way they did it when Alex Smith was there. That's what makes this game interesting, because they're very similar. And what I'm saying is exactly the thing that I said about Alex Smith in 2011 and going into 2012. The 49ers are going to win a lot of games simply because their defense, their running game, and Alex Smith won't make a lot of mistakes. And when they need him to, he's shown that he's capable of taking it to that next level. Will he do it all the time? No. But he's capable of doing it. And that's what Seattle's done. So I think it's completely overrated about Russell Wilson not having a great game. Not having a great end of the season, I mean.
Okay.
Because he's going to be fine. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. And if he does, of course it's going to affect him. But that's like, it goes without saying. If Peyton Manning throws a pick, like he did in last year's game, then, yeah, it's going to affect the team negatively. Like, that doesn't really matter. We haven't seen him do this on a consistent basis. He's always been capable of minimizing the mistakes, keeping his team in it, and moving on to the next level. And when they need him to, he moves on to that level. That's not, to me, where the big matchup is. It isn't between Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson. That's not what this is about.
Really? Okay. So where do you think...
This game is about, very similar to what I said about the Niners game last week, who's going to make the least amount of mistakes, and when a team does make a mistake, who's going to take the most advantage. And you know what? It's going to come down to, can Marshawn Lynch get off against the 49ers defense? He can. Will he do it? Do the 49ers have a game plan in order to do that? Are the 49ers going to be able to contain Russell Wilson when plays break down, when coverage looks good? Are they going to be able to do what they did in San Francisco and make sure that he doesn't pick up first downs on 3rd and 12, on 3rd and 8 and stuff like that with his legs? And same goes on the flip side. Can they get pressure and force Colin Kaepernick into situations he doesn't want to be in to make mistakes? And can they minimize what Colin Kaepernick does with his legs? I think there's way more pressure on Colin Kaepernick than there is Russell Wilson. because he's the one that's more prone to the mistakes. He's the one that bails the 49ers out a lot more than Russell Wilson does to Seattle. The defense has been obviously fantastic and has been playing great. They are prone to giving up big drives at times, you know, for a quarter or two, and then shutting it down for a quarter or two. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've struggled with stopping the run more so than they have in 2011, 2012. And this is not the team to do that with. But they got Marshawn Lynch. He's probably going to get his. So it comes down to, on the back end, Dante Whitner, Eric Reed, the corners not making mistakes, not getting lost in coverage. If they make those mistakes and Russell Wilson capitalizes on it, the 49ers are not going to win this game. If they pressure Colin Kaepernick and he makes mistakes and puts them in good field position, they're not going to win this game. It's just, to me, it's that simple. Pressure's more on Kaepernick in this game, not Russell Wilson. This is not about those two guys going at each other. Russell Wilson's going to do exactly what he's done all last 2 years. Play his game. If they need him to elevate, he will. If they get to that point where they need him to, you know, put a game-winning drive together, you know, a lot of people act like it means something if he accomplishes it or not, and it really does. And it's just random drives. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get down to the 5-yard line and you throw the ball up to Michael Crabtree, and some people think he gets held. You know, Ravens made a great call, brought the blitz, put pressure in Kaepernick's face, and they get a stop on fourth down, and the Ravens go on to win the Super Bowl. Does that mean that that defines who Colin Kaepernick is? Obviously not, because he's back in the NFC Championship game. And I'm going to say the same thing about Russell Wilson. He's going to do fine. I don't really think it's going to be an issue. To me, again, it comes down to mistakes and who capitalizes on them. It's going to be a fun game, though. I'll tell you that much.
It'll be
a lot of fun.
You know, I think, just to restate your point to the audience, I mean, the key here is not so much, I mean, so basically, you feel like Russell Wilson can take over a game if he needs to, but he hasn't been dependent, called on to do so, at least in recent vintage. So that's interesting to note, because I know that he has done that sort of thing in the past over the last two seasons. I guess my thinking was, is he going to be able to do that in this game? And maybe he can.
Well, it's obviously going to be a tougher challenge than him doing it against the Atlanta defense last year.
Right.
It's going to be a much tougher challenge than doing it against Atlanta or Washington like he did last year. Mm-hmm. And why? Because it's a better defense.
Better defense, yeah.
They got a better defensive coordinator, better game plan, better football players. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. Like, there's no question about it. It's going to be tough. But he's never had to really do this against the 49ers yet. The one time that he did was this recent game, and it really wasn't on him. I mean, do you really feel like it was Russell Wilson's fault that they lost later on in the season in San Francisco?
No, I would say
no.
That.
It was a tough, it's a hard-fought game. They both played a great game. Both teams played a great game. You know, and both defenses really slowed down both quarterbacks as well. Now, Kaepernick's numbers didn't look all that great, but he still had a pretty efficient game, and same with Russell Wilson. It's not like he threw for 200 yards or anything like that. He had an okay game. Wasn't going crazy. There wasn't a ton of, we threw an interception late in the game when it didn't matter. Off really just a Hail Mary. Like, this isn't. I think there's just too much made out of these two guys because people want to hear the storyline. They want that storyline, and I get that. I just don't think it's going to be the case. I think you'll see those two teams and come out. Maybe there's nerves or whatever it might be. That's possible, but it's never really been on Russell Wilson's shoulders. Kaepernick, I think, has way more pressure going into this game. Way more pressure. Because he's done that for the 49ers. We've seen him take over games in that way. The 49ers don't win in Green Bay without Colin Kaepernick. And that's my point.
I think that's a good...
Can you really say that about Russell Wilson at any point? Have you ever said, man, they don't win that game without Russell Wilson? You know, yeah, I mean, sort of in the sense that,
there might have been one or two, but I mean, definitively, right? Like, where you say, you know, like, instinctively, oh, yeah, he's the reason that they won that game.
There's only one guy in the there's only one or two or three or four guys in the league that make that play. I've never really thought about that, about Russell Wilson. And again, I'm not trying to bash on the guy at all. In fact, I think it's more of a compliment. And I also think, you know, I hate the idea that game managers are looked down upon in the NFL.
No, I know you've defended like, that before. You've defended the game manager. You know, I hear you.
I think that's fucking stupid. Like, I think Russell Wilson is a fantastic quarterback. He doesn't have the upside that Kaepernick has. He doesn't have the upside that Cam Newton has. He doesn't have to have those things. The thing is, he's a very smart guy. He knows what he has. He knows his limitations, and he takes what he can get.
That's valuable.
And you know what?
Yes,
it's extremely valuable. And you know what? In terms of, like, you know, again, defended Alex Smith in the past, talked about similarities of him, right, you know? He's a much better athlete than Alex Smith in a lot of ways. In some ways, I think Alex Smith is a bit of a stronger guy. But in terms of his ability, his running ability, his elusiveness, he's much better at that. Right? So what's the big deal here? Why are we talking about how Russell Wilson has been playing well lately? I think it's an overrated notion. I think it's not going to come down to that. He doesn't have to throw for 300 yards against the 49ers. He just doesn't have to because he has Marshawn Lynch and he has a great defense. And if he needs to get a couple drives together, he's very, very capable of doing it. And it's going to come down to just him doing it or not, or the 49ers defense stopping him. Like, it's not that complicated. It's just football.
Right. Well, but you did point out one other factor, which I think is probably going to be an even bigger story, which could be an even bigger story, turnovers. And what's really big about these teams is that when you turn the ball over, I mean, in some cases, they will make you pay, especially if the game, because there's such a low-scoring game, for no other reason. If for no other reason. So this will be a huge factor. I'm not even going to ask you who's more capable of turning the ball over. I mean, I think that's even two. So that'll leave us with two things.
No, I'll say 49ers.
You think 49ers?
I think Kaepernick's more erratic.
I gotcha. Well, I would agree with that. I think
I don't think it has anything to do with discipline.
Right.
I don't have anything to do with discipline or anything. They're both very well disciplined teams. I think they're pretty even in those ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kaepernick's just more erratic. That's all.
Okay.
There's some throws he'll make, and you go, Jesus, that's a great throw. And then another throw, you're like, oh my God, that should be picked. And then it sometimes does, and sometimes it doesn't. He's more erratic. He's going to take a little bit more risks. That's his style. You just look, the first two quarters of that Carolina game, before the last minute drive in the 4 minute drive into the first half, he was extremely erratic. He was all over the place, all over the map. In the second half and in that drive, it was phenomenal. You just don't see Russell Wilson go through spurts like that, those up and down. He's way more consistent. He's just going to keep plugging away and keep his team in it. And that's what makes him dangerous. And then suddenly you start to kind of fall asleep, and he breaks one off, a big run, and makes a big throw to Golden Tate or whoever it might be, and you didn't see it coming. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, this is a very good breakdown, Jacob. And you know, he is pretty good. He's a good quarterback, no question. I mean, I think the best part about you said he's steady. Basically, the idea is he's steady, and I think that's a very solid point of view. And yeah, I would agree. I mean, he doesn't turn the ball over that much. I mean, you could compare that to Andrew Luck. He turns the ball over all the time. So from that standpoint, that's saving you in a game. He doesn't literally take you out of a game, as Andrew Luck might do, or as Matt Schaub might do, or as another quarterback could do. So that doesn't get you on SportsCenter, but that's a huge, huge quality to have. Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I agree.
Yep. So
100% agree.
This is good. This is good. This is a good lead into your prediction. But before we get to that, did you want to comment on the ticket fiasco in Seattle? How they were limiting tickets.
No, I don't give a shit.
You know, okay, we'll skip that. We will skip that.
I think it's just gamesmanship.
That's what I thought, too. I thought it was gamesmanship as well. So, non-story. All right. To the prediction, then. How do you predict the NFC Championship game?
You know, you'll probably like this comparison just because you'll remember this. I remember when the Lakers lost to the Celtics in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And the next season, they won the Western Conference Finals. And they're all standing around being interviewed with Phil Jackson. and Kobe Bryant. And all the guys are kind of like in a semicircle around him. And I think only like if he was on the team, that sounds like Ronnie Turioff, who had like a big smile on his face and looked excited. And everybody else looked like it was the worst time of their life. Even Jordan Farmar looked like, what the fuck are we doing here? They had this attitude of just, it didn't matter. They didn't care about winning the Western Conference. They wanted the finals. They wanted redemption for the year before. That's the sense I get with the 49ers. I think it's a business trip for them. I think they're taking it that way. I like the way they've been playing. I said it before. Any other year, I think they win the NFC Championship game running away. But against this team, it's going to be a lot tougher to do that. I think when you get to a point in this point in the playoffs, home field advantage means a little bit less because you've got two very good quality teams going at each other. And that other team that's not at home is still very, very good. I still don't trust Pete Carroll teams. I'm expecting a Reggie Bush moment. I expect it. I really do. I expect it from probably someone in the secondary doing something stupid. He's club med. He's loose.
Yep.
And that's great. That's fantastic. And he's always been that way. And teams have always been prone to those type of things, especially on the biggest stage. And this stage isn't getting much bigger than 2 weeks from now. That's about it. I really think the 49ers are going to go in and just, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a grind. But they're way more disciplined than they were last year. They are a better football team, more explosive than they were 2 years ago. They have some holes in the D-line. I think they take care of business. I'm going to give you a score. I'm going to give you 27-23. It's my prediction.
27-23. With the Niners taking a little redemption on their way to Super Bowl 48. This is good. This is good. It's a great breakdown.
I've been trying to not be a homer about this.
You've been doing good.
If you asked me, if you asked me 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have told you the 49ers lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have told you it would have been closer than in week two. It would have been a tight game like it was in the fourth quarter in week two. And probably not, you know, that snowball that happened in the fourth quarter. Take that away, and I think the Seattle just barely pulls it off. Right now, I think the 49ers are just playing better football. And I think they're going to want to go and take care of business. And again, going back to that Lakers analogy, that's what I sense from them. When you see them in the press conferences, see what they're saying. I think that's what happened. So, there's my prediction.
A sense of determination to go further than just one next level. That's the 49ers' mantra and their outlook. And we will see if that comes to fruition in the Pacific Northwest this weekend. Jacob, this is really looking good. How are you feeling about the whole thing? So now we have 6 minutes remaining. Let's talk about your personal outlook on this. So you must feel pretty confident about that. You pretty much outlined why, what they could do to win this game.
Confident, but...
Well, okay, not confident, but optimistic, let's say. Would optimistic be a good word?
Maybe, okay.
Maybe not optimistic, but let's say cautiously optimistic.
Okay. Okay. That's fine.
Okay. I don't want to get too carried away now, but you get the idea. So, So what will you be doing to prepare for this game on Sunday? Will you? I assume not too much drinking beforehand. You don't want to miss it, but where will you see it?
I have no idea where I'm going to watch it. No clue.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That out. I have no idea.
Wow.
No idea. I probably won't be drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try from now until Sunday not to think about the game as much as possible.
It's probably good. Going with a clear mind. Yeah.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous as hell. And there's nothing I can do about it. It's not like I'm on the football team where I'm like preparing a game plan. Like, all I'm doing is just waiting, which sucks. You know, like, there's nothing else to do. Like,
right.
Like, I watched both teams 2 times already this season. I've watched tons of Seattle games. I've watched all the Niner games. You know, at some point, it's just like, you just got to see it happen. So, I'm not necessarily really thinking about much of it. That morning's going to be fun. Just waking up and be like a kid and going to, you know, Disneyland for the first time.
Nice.
Probably won't sleep much. It'll be fun.
Oh, so, that should be good. I look forward to it too.
Well, how about Javaris, man? I mean, what's going on with him?
You talking about Javaris Crittenden? The guy that...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The guy that actually was Gilbert Arenas. You either pulled a gun on him or he pulled a gun on him one of those deals.
Yeah, you didn't hear what happened?
I'm new to this news. I know I did not hear what happened. What happened to him?
He got in trouble again.
Huh? Well, I mean, from that moment on, it seemed to me that Crittenden...
Fired to deal cocaine and marijuana.
Oh, really? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah. That was a solid pick, by the way. Great pick.
What do you say mean by that? What year was that when they picked him? I mean, was it a first-round pick or something?
I don't care. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you.
Wow. All
right. Okay, fine. Let's talk about how they didn't trade Pau Gasol.
I don't know what that's all about. You know, if they want to advance, if they want to actually improve their team, I think that may have been in their best interest. I don't know how what happened. Did Kobe weasel him out of it? I mean, I don't know what the story is there. Pau's playing well, but I really think that it's time to move on. It really was time, I thought, but maybe that was just me.
Yeah, I mean, all the games I've watched, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Haven't watched any games, Dave. I haven't watched a game all season at all. I probably won't watch any basketball. Probably won't watch the playoffs either.
Boy, you really are just the bearer of good news today, aren't you?
7 years, $215 million. Yeah. It's exciting stuff, man.
That could have been a lot worse.
Quick question, though.
Yeah.
Serious question, because yes. I'm just fucking around, actually.
Right.
Serious question. What do you think about the guy selling his Hall of Fame book? Or not selling, like it's giving away his Hall of Fame book to Deadspin.
Oh, you're talking about... you're talking about Dan Lebatard, right? Well, I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah, I don't care about Dan Lebatard. I'm saying, what do you think about him doing what he
did? About him doing what he did? I don't care. I mean, look, the Hall of Fame's a farce anyway. It doesn't matter. I mean, I think more power to him. Let him deal with the punishment as he gets it. They're like, you can't go to a Marlins game for a year. Like, ooh, I'm so scared. I'm so scared.
Yeah, I didn't even know I don't even think he was going to Marlins.
He wasn't going there anyway. What's the difference?
Well, I thought it was great. I thought Deadspin, what they did, was awesome.
Yeah,
it was,
I agree.
It was hilarious.
I agree.
And honestly, you look at their ballot, it was a good ballot.
That's what I heard too. I heard that they actually voted on that thing legitimately. They didn't just throw troll names like Gilligan or something like that. So that's pretty good. Just goes to show you that they will back up what they say, the Deadspin people. So
and it was actually voted on by all the commenters.
Oh, nice. Boy, that's really good.
It was a vote.
Yeah.
It was a straight up vote. Like it wasn't even like I voted.
Yeah. You voted too? Cool. Very cool.
I did. I was a part of it. I voted for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's
part of it.
Well, that's it's kind of nice to feel like you had a hand in it, doesn't it? It's sort of like
I did. I was one of I don't know how many people, thousands and
thousands of thousands of people, but that's still pretty sweet, man. I was all for it. I said, you know what, more power to them. I think that it's about time that they tried to do something to disrupt. The only thing I would say about that Lebatard thing is that it felt to me like a bit of an attention grab that he would do it like that.
Yeah, I don't actually care.
But the idea of that happening was pretty good. Now, some people are like, well, you shouldn't have given it to Deadspin. Like, no. I mean, actually, they would probably have a better clue on who to vote for than a lot of institutions.
I just love that sports writers get to be sanctimonious about anything.
Yeah.
And they get to accuse people of being sanctimonious. Like, you're being sanctimonious. Really? Like, you're a sports writer. cornered the market at that. It was hilarious. By the way, Greg Maddux, greatest pitcher of all time.
He's good. I mean, there's not much better than him out there in all.
I just said that there's nobody been better.
So you think he's the best? Period, all time and era. Wow, strong words. But you know what? He is that. He is good.
He's the Jerry Rice of pitching.
Wow, that's high praise, man.
Not
my friend.
Athletic guy.
Yep.
Not the biggest guy.
Yep.
Not the strongest guy.
Not the fastest arm. Yep.
Nobody knows more about pitching than Greg Maddux.
A legend. Definitely a legend of his time. A legend for all time. That was great to see.
I saw him steal a base.
Yeah, I did remember him stealing a base. That's right. Was that with the Cubs or the Dodgers? Which one was that?
It was Dodgers.
Yes!
I think they clinched that day. It was at AT&T, or I guess it was at Belden. I don't know. Whatever it was.
They
clinched, and Matt Cain. Was it Mike Matheny was the catcher then? Who was
Wait, the catcher of who? Your team or my team?
The Giants.
The Giants? Maybe it was Matheny. I have no idea.
Matheny was there for like a year or two, right?
Right.
Yeah. Someone said on the comment board that Pedro was better than Maddux. I think it's a great argument to have. I think Pedro was amazing. I think, I don't think he gets enough due, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think we talk about Clemens and Randy Johnson so much. Those guys were huge. They're just big guys. Randy Johnson was tall, used his legs well. I'm not saying that they were bad, but they were more dominant than, say, Pedro was dominant, and he was a great pitcher.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree. I just think that I think Greg Maddux was just, in terms of just pitching ability, I don't think anybody's been better than him. We may never see a guy as good as him either. What was I saying? Oh, I think it was Matheny was the catcher then, before he had those concussions. And he stood up, and Cain's, like, on the bag. Like, Matheny's, like, pointing at second base, and Matt Cain's like, what are you doing? And then Matt Cain, like, turns around, and Greg Maddux was, like, halfway to the bag already. And he's just like, it was almost like Matt Cain was like, what are you doing? Why are you even stealing the bag right now? You're old. And he threw it to second base, and it was too late. Greg Maddux was, like, one of, like, 9 stolen bases in his entire career, and I was there.
That's
the worst fucking Giants game I ever went to.
Well, at least you got that little silver lining out of it. Well, and you got to see a legend like Greg Maddux pitch and clinch the game. So I guess if there's any consolation, that would be it. Well, that's a really good outlook, Jacob. But, I didn't realize you were that interested in discussing this topic, but it's really cool that you brought that up.
I'm not, actually.
You're not?
I don't
actually care. Oh, okay. Well,
I'm not just kidding.
What? You're so good at pulling my chain, my friend. But it's been a privilege breaking this down, Jake. It will be interesting to see whether the Niners, when a guy on a team is on a mission. A lot of times you'll see that in sports, and then they will get to the promised land. Not all the time, though. I've seen it happen where they would be determined, but they still wouldn't make it. But
they're running into a good football team.
Yeah.
At the toughest place to play in football right now. I mean, it's
absolutely
my prediction. I'm not saying fucking go bet on it.
No.
Right in stone. It's going to be a great game.
It is.
I mean, both games are going to be great. It's going to be a fun weekend.
I agree. All right, Jake. Well, enjoy the games. Have a great time and enjoy the rest of your week. We will catch up again soon. So for now, have a good evening, sir.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. You too. That's Jacob Rosales on the program, which now takes us to our favorite part of the program and the return of America's favorite moment in Sports Talk Podcasting.
Do the dance. It's time for random questions.
Good stuff.
In the city with Kevin on the cake.
And Kevin is stationed in Massachusetts, where it is going to be a big weekend for the Patriots. But could it be the final weekend for the Patriots? Well, we'll see what the feel is up in New England. But let's do that by introducing our friend Kevin on the Cape. Kevin, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us tonight. What's new?
This is the longest week ever, Dave. Can they just play this game? I'm sick of it. Sick of the radio shows, the Brady Manning garbage. It's awful. I mean, they spent 2 hours talking about Spygate today. I thought that was
really
over like 8 years ago.
Man.
Everyone because everyone who hates the Patriots, that's their one little thing when they call up and they talk about that. That's the one that what they throw out. And actually, to the host credit, they really can't say too much about it. But it's so such old news, and oh, I just. It needs to be Sunday. It needs to be Sunday now because I've had enough of it already.
Well, I think that goes for everything.
My favorite part is that they always, Manning, Brady, blah, blah, blah. They don't really play against each other. It's not like it's a boxing fight.
Right.
Yeah, I've had enough. I haven't heard one name mentioned of any other player that's playing in this game, and I got to think there's probably about 50 of them.
Yeah, no, there's, 50 people on each team. So, you know, I know everybody likes... Yeah, no, I totally agree.
You would think that Sunday is Tom Brady and Peyton Manning playing a video game against each other.
Well, I mean, there's reason to make that... to make it into that kind of a matchup, but I understand what you're saying. Like, you've got to give some more credit to the other people on the team. I mean, I think this has been said many times by... Renegade radio commentators such as yourself, you know, it's just, you know, there's more to football than just one guy. And so if the Patriots lose, it's not going to be because Brady couldn't find, he's getting old, he can't deliver. I mean, you got to give the Broncos some credit. You got to give the rest of their team some credit too. Same thing for Manning.
Yeah. Everyone gave Mr. Brady's super hot wife a bunch of crap, but she was right. He can't throw it and catch it as well.
Exactly. He can't play defense too. that brings up an interesting call. You know, you're talking about Spygate. Is the use of the word gate for everything annoying you as it might some other people? Because, you know, they have Crygate with the Heat last year, and you have Bridgegate with the Governor Chris Christie thing in New Jersey. Is the use of the word gate...
I mean, you're a little more into the media thing, but my question is, it's only been, what, you know, not that long that they've been using that, which is, at least to me, maybe 5, 6 years, seven years.
Yep.
You know, when obviously it's based on something from the 70s.
Yes.
I don't remember as a kid them using that attachment to any controversy. It wasn't Iran-Contra gate. It was, you know, I'm just trying to think of things in the 80s that no one ever, all of a sudden it latched on later, which is sort of strange, I think.
It absolutely, I agree with you 100% on that, because I don't remember even like 10 years ago using gate for everything. We did have
It wasn't Lewinsky gate, was it?
Actually, I thought it was. It was some kind of gate.
Maybe.
But even after that, like, it wasn't used that much in the media. And then all of a sudden, like, you had Spygate, you have this gate, you had that gate, you have it just gate all over the place. And so, you know, to the point of those who get annoyed by it, I can understand. Like, this is, it's kind of gotten a little out of hand. Like, you know, you have like a supermarket strike, you're going to call it Market Gate. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, I can understand that. I'm actually down, I'm okay with it, but it makes sense that people would find that perturbing.
Yeah, it's been a little overdone. I think it's time to move on.
Yeah. Let's move on. So actually, I want to throw this question out right now because it's sort of, it's related to what we're talking about. But our first random question comes from Jacob Rosales. He asks, better gate. This is very related. The Bridgegate thing from this week or Spygate? Which is the better gate scenario for you?
Well, the Bridgegate is by far more interesting. I think it involves a little more levels of conspiracy and even more things that will yet to be determined when, if you actually break down Spygate for the, you know, but people, a lot of people will just say it, you know, they just say the word, oh, you get a Patriot, they just say it, and without actually really understanding what they were fined for and what actually went on and what is real and what is fake. If you actually read the NFL decision, it's pretty black and white. There wasn't Mike Vrabel didn't have a video camera in his helmet that was being deciphered on the sidelines. They did things that every team did. They just got caught taping it. Basically, that's what it was. I mean,
right.
every team was doing what they were doing. They were just, and they were guilty. You know, don't get me wrong, but as far as helping them and that kind of stuff, it's silly if you actually really look at the facts of that case. So the Bridgegate to me is way more interesting. Political conspiracies and this guy get fired and that's really cool. I mean, not cool, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's cool in a fun way because there are people in traffic and stuff, but I like a good political conspiracy.
Oh, yeah, that's got some juice. That's got some meat to it, too. I mean, look, I dismissed the concept of the Bridgegate in the beginning because I completely misinterpreted. I had no idea actually what was happening and just people referencing it. And so, you know, I was talking with my friends Jacob and Andrew about it, and I was completely off. I had no idea what the depth of this was. So then I finally read into it, and now I realize why it is such a big deal. I was like, wow, that is bad. And as far as Chris Christie's presidential chances, we hate to get political on the show, but this is a relevant question. Do you think this has a serious dent in his ability to run for office for presidential term the next couple years from now?
The only way it will have an effect to me is if they actually have some sort of proof that he's lying now. Because as we've talked about this, whether it's sports or politics, and people can forgive all sorts of stuff, but when you just completely look to a camera and lie, they don't like that very much.
Nope.
If it comes out that all the things and everyone sticks to their stories, you should probably be fine. But if it comes out that his chief of staff just snaps and said, no, we were with him all day, and he was laughing and joking, and he thought it was a great idea, then he's screwed. It's over. And not even that it was that egregious of a thing, because I'm sure in politics things like that happen a lot, more than regular Joes like you and I like to admit, whether it's blocking polling places or shuttling, things like, I'm not talking about voter fraud. I'm just talking about little things in certain neighborhoods. I'm sure stuff like this happens a lot. Not to this magnitude, but it's probably not unprecedented to go after someone who didn't endorse you in little ways. But if it turns out that he knew all along and then looked into the camera and his people and all that kind of stuff, and once he gets caught in a lie, then it's over. Then he's finished.
That's no good. That's no good. It's what brought Nixon down too, I think, pretty much. I am not a crook. But anyway, let's get to the next question, random questions tonight with Kevin on the Cape. We have one remaining question for now, if you have a question for us. Question followed by the question itself. We will answer them in order. And tonight, starting tonight, we will give you credit on air for writing the questions. So if you want to get on the program, this is a good way to do it. blogtalkradio.com/DaveInTheCity to send that in. You can also tweet them to us at DiningWithDave on Twitter. And you will be on your way. So, all right, let's get to it. Next question, random questions. This is from In Blue Heaven. He asks, cake or pie? Now, we've talked about this before. I know you're not much of a desserts guy, but if you had to pick one, gun to your head, how would you go?
So, but obviously pie. I'm just trying to envision you holding a gun to my head. would you hold? I think you'd be more nervous than I would. Like, your hand would be shaking.
Yeah,
and
no
I don't
question.
Think your gun would be loaded.
Yeah, no, you're like right.
Maybe a water, like a water pistol. Yeah,
you would
be like
right.
Big red super soaker thing. Pie or cake? I'm gonna soak it. Yeah, so. Anyway, I pick pie because I don't eat cake.
All right, that's
I like ice cream and chocolate and all that kind of stuff. So I like apple pie and I like key lime pie. Those are the only two desserts I eat. So therefore, I'm obviously a pie guy.
Okay, That's a great answer. That is really good. Thank you for your response, Junkie. I think I've said this before too. I like pie as well, and the reason I like pie more than cake is because there's more variety with it. Like cake, you can only do like cake. Like, you can't change up the fillings too much. There's still cake in it, I guess. You could add ice cream to cake, but I don't think within the context of the definition necessarily that is a cake. I don't know. But with pie, you can do all kinds of combinations. You can do cherry pie, apple pie, raspberry pie, rhubarb pie. You can even go the other way, and you can do, like, meat pie. You can do, like, chicken pot pie. You can do, you know, crumbly pie. You know, what are the crumbly apple? Like, Dutch apple pie. Why are Dutch things... Why sometimes Dutch things can be disgusting. Like, for example, Dutch oven. You ever hear that slang? And I don't understand. Yeah, it's disgusting. And like, why is that disgusting? What is an actual Dutch oven? Like, I know what it is in slang. I just don't understand what's the original Dutch oven. Like, it's just what? Like, it's made out of adobe or something? Oven. What's that?
It's an actual oven that people have in their homes, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think that's right. But like. What is it made out of poop or something? I mean, why is there a comparison to that from this other thing that we shall not name in slang terms?
I'm pretty sure it's not made out of poop. I'm pretty sure people have it in their homes.
Oh, okay.
I think it's. I don't really even know because I don't own one or ever have made. But it's not that uncommon, I think. People have Dutch ovens in their homes, and I'm not positive, but I'm 99% sure that it's not made out of feces, human or otherwise.
I have heard that they use it to construct homes, but it's like all dried out. It's from another ant. I don't know. I won't even go there. But the point here is I like pie better because there's more things you can do with pie, more varieties, more choices. Pizza pie is technically a pie, and especially the Chicago version, which is like barely pizza. But if you really think about it, it is a lot like pie. You got the crust, you got the filling. Maybe you don't have the top, but you know everything else about it is pretty much on the money. So pumpkin pie, Boston cream pie, your favorite key lime pie. It's just the possibilities of pie are endless. Like you could do anything and make it a pie. If you took M&M's,
yeah, you're right. I mean, overall, pie is just way better.
Oh, know, no, no,
pie
no, no. Popeye's good.
You know,
Popeye's good. It's good.
Yeah, there's just...
I dig it. A lot of good choices there. Let me go to the rest of the questions, though.
Song.
We're never going to get through them if I keep going off on pies. Do you think
Yeah,
it's for the best. I'm telling you, I could go the rest of the hour naming pies. I'm serious. I don't think anybody wants to hear that, so... Let's do this. Okay, next question. This comes from a couple cookies. He asks, have either of you had pot brownies? Wow. Herbal brownies. Have you had one?
What did you say? Herbal brownies?
Well, you know, brownies with pot in them.
Oh, no. I have not.
Okay. I came close one time back when I worked at the electronics store. A guy brought us a bag of them in, and he offered me one, but I did not partake. So maybe I should have. It would have been fun. I like brownies anyway. It would have been a nice twist. Who knows?
Yeah, that would have been nice. At an electronics store, that would have been really kind of
What could go wrong? Yeah.
No, exactly.
Oh, man. Well, here is a related question. Here we go. This is from Jacob Rosales. He asks, Dave drunk or Dave high, what would you rather see in person?
Oh, that's a no-brainer, non-question. I would so much rather see Dave high in person. I feel that only, and partly because I feel stories would be better. It'd be funnier. The night, you'd be able to hang out a lot longer. For some reason, I picture Dave drunk being just you'd have like one funny story, and then you'd pass out. You know, it would be like, yeah, and then it would be kind of a cool story, and then it's 8:30 at night, and they're like, where's Dave? And he's passed out, face down on the floor in the bathroom. I think, hi, Dave, would like put on the headset and say, hey, we're doing a show. And you would just get on the thing, and you'd call up Jacob, and you'd call up Tommy, and you'd have like this four-hour show just telling stories, eating chips, you know, watching silly things on TV. I think it would lend itself to a lot funnier experience.
You know, you have described my drunken experience to a T. Because if I get too drunk, I become inoperable. I stop talking, and if I get really off the rails, it's over, and I'm out. Yeah, you pretty much nailed that. I mean, there are varying levels there, right? It's like, I mean, if you gave me like three straight shots of some really strong fluid, then you know it'd be over in like 15 minutes. But I see your breakdown is actually quite brilliant. Generally speaking, I never get that bad that quickly, but it's because I learned to pace myself too. So that's key. Good answer. I like that. That's pretty cool. So all right, next question.
The question wasn't like, would you rather listen to pacing himself, Dave? It was drunk Dave.
No, exactly right. Exactly right. Exactly right. Exactly right. Okay, so let's see what we have next on the docket. Let's see. Have you ever had a gun to your head?
No comment.
I don't have much. No. For me, no. Thankfully, thank God. It hasn't happened yet. Just a follow-up question, though. This is good. What's the closest to death you've ever been? Ooh.
I don't want to talk about that one.
Okay.
It's too close to talk about.
Okay. So we'll put that one on layaway for a while. I know you had that weird adventure that one time in the plane, and that seemed like a pretty close call too. I remember you had that.
That doesn't even register on the top five, but wow. that was a funny one.
Oh my gosh. That's not even top five. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, the little puddle jumper in the mountains in Mexico.
Yeah.
That doesn't even register. That when I look back to that one is almost fun.
Oh boy. You've had quite a life, junk man. Ooh. Thankfully you made it, cuz then we would have said you've had quite a death too. No, that's no good. Anyway, I'm glad you're still here. That's the bottom line. I don't want to go any further. Question for me, closest to death I've ever been. I come from a suburban upbringing. I live in Santa Monica. I've had it pretty good. I can't even ascertain as to where I could have been really close to dying at any point. I mean, you could do like if I had like you know like those really toxic. Toxic things like, you know, housewares, whatever. Maybe if I ingested it, I would have been close to death. I mean, that's the best I can do. I mean, there may have been one time I could have fallen off a cliff somewhere. Oh, you know one? I got a couple of them. Okay. There were two moments I had with my first car. I'm not going to say what the car was because it's still very close to me emotionally, so I don't want to even bring up what the car was. Still just one of the it's a very troubling period of my life with this car, how things ended with the car. But I remember going down Conejo Grade one time, and for some reason I was driving down, and so you're going downhill, so you're going really fast, and this car in front of me, I was listening to the Dan Patrick Show on ESPN Radio at the time. It's irrelevant, but I just thought I'd bring that up. So, right in front of me, a car, his hood flies up into his windshield. Like, the hood just pops up and goes in his windshield. And he starts spinning out of control, and he had to stop. And I'm going downhill in the middle of the day. I had to slam the brake just so I didn't hit him. And then I had to look around, And then I somehow, like, didn't get hit by anybody during that time, and I dodged the guy eventually and just went on my way. That was really scary. That I remember that very vividly. I was like, really, really, that could have been it. Like, you know, all the cars going down like 70 miles an hour down a grade like that in a busy freeway. That was probably the closest I came to actually dying. And, wow. Oh. I mean, I can. It's fun to tell a story now because I didn't even get hurt. But that was really, really scary. Because, like, you know, one bad turn, one bad instinct, and it's over. I mean, have you ever come close to anything like that on the freeway?
You really don't want to hear my story, Stan.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, you don't want to hear about the car story. Yeah,
okay.
You don't.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm sorry. I hope that wasn't too... I hope none of that was too disturbing, even the part where I was talking about my car. But that was probably as close as I got. And it wasn't even that close. I didn't get hurt. I didn't get cut or anything. I mean, I've had paper cuts, so that doesn't really count. Very lucky. I am very lucky. But I'm always so paranoid that one day, like, someone's going to mug me. Remember when I went to New York, I thought that people were going to jump out of the street corners and grab me and slice me, but that didn't happen. So I'm always looking over my shoulder. I'm never sure. I'm just never sure what's going to happen. So thankfully, it's been okay so far, but I just never know. I'm always thinking, you know, how many more days do I have left? Yeah, there's never a sure amount, and that's why you got to live every day to the fullest. Okay, let's get to the next. Thank you. So let's see if we have any other questions here. Okay, great. This is a good question. It's good that we get a very different question here. Jacob asks, who would you rather see against the Patriots in the Super Bowl if New England wins? So, like, who would you rather see New England play? Would you rather see them play the 49ers in a theoretical Super Bowl, or would you rather see them play the Seahawks in a theoretical Super Bowl?
I don't think that actually matters. Personally, I guess I would pick the Niners only because I think they'd have a better chance to beat the Patriots. But as far as seeing, you know, I think both of the coaches of the NFC teams are, you know, would kind of, you know, push some buttons, you know, with the New England fans. They both have young, kind of brash quarterbacks, which would, actually Russell Wilson's not that brash, but the defenses are terrific. I think either of them would present a very big challenge for the Patriots. You know, it'd be fun to see Carroll kind of stick it to his old team, but overall, I guess I'd lean toward the Niners because I think the Niners would have an overall better chance to beat the Patriots, just on the overall, you know, strength of the team. I honestly think the Niners are probably the best team of the four playing. I'm not saying that they're going to win everything, but I just think they're the most complete team, you know, if you look at it from the skilled players and the defense and the coach and everything.
Right. Okay, that's a good answer. I mean, it's going to be, no matter who it is, it's going to be tough anyway, right? So that's a pretty good call. It's probably not a question for me. I'm not really following the Patriots as closely as you might be up in New England. I mean, if they did win, if the Patriots won, I'd like to, maybe... But just to answer this, you know, just for good discussion, I think I'd like to see the Patriots face the 49ers if they win. Because then you're looking at the past, the present, and the future. And it's sort of the Brady representing the past and the present, Kaepernick and his team representing the future. I think that's a really interesting storyline right there. But against the Seahawks, that's also pretty good. That's also going to be a good game. But I think that something about Patriots Niners has a really good ring to it. So if they do win, that'd be a kind of a nice looking matchup. It'd be interesting to see those two teams on the field. And remember, I don't know if they played this year, but the year before, or maybe even 2 years before, you remember when the Niners went out there to Foxborough in a cold evening, and they racked up the points on the Patriots?
Oh, man.
Remember that?
So, yeah, oh, absolutely.
Quite a game. And then the New England came back in that game, but just to see them go out there, almost shocking to see how big of a lead they built on the Pats in that game. Yeah, that's pretty good. That was a good question from our friend Jacob. Okay, next question, random questions with Kevin on the Cape. When you're driving through a dicey neighborhood, do you make sure and check that your doors are locked? Like, instinctively, do you lock your doors?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about someone who's not, I don't travel that much, but I guess, but I did, you know, most recently, last summer, I did get lost in Philly, and drove through some very, very, very rough areas, just trying to navigate myself through the city. I was amazed how quickly Philadelphia can turn from, like, driving. Right. You're at a stoplight, and you're looking at a bunch of couples at a sidewalk cafe, and you're like, oh, this looks like a nice town, and then you made a couple turns, and holy cow, you're in the middle of Watts in 1968, and you're... But anyway, I digress. I'm not only do I not worry about my locks on my doors, I'm the guy with the, passenger, both windows open because I'm smoking a cigar. So I'm just, the window's got to be open. I'm listening to talk radio. I can't be worried about what's going on around me. If they want to rob me, they're going to rob me. There's really no sense in going nuts about that.
That's a decent point.
And guess what? When you're driving around a 10-year-old Saturn, you're not exactly, prime suspect to get carjacked.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line. I mean, it's like, what do you have to lose at this point? I drive around a Camry that's over 20 years old now. I mean, I honestly don't think it's... The doors, like I said, when I start my car, the doors lock automatically, so I look just to make sure, I suppose, but other than that, I kind of like, okay, are they locked? Okay, they're locked, but I don't really make a conscious thought about it if I'm driving through, like, something kind of ratty of a neighborhood, because it's like you said, I'm moving. I mean, what are they really going to want from me,
Yeah, they don't want me. Trust me. If they want to come steal my hubcaps, guess what? They're already gone. They fell off at some point in the last 5 years. I don't know where they are.
I got you. But how about when you stop off somewhere? Do you do anything differently there, or do you just leave it like the way it is?
Like, what do you mean?
There's nothing different to do. I guess you park the car. The only thing I would say to that is that, I have on a very rare occasion felt like I need to take the faceplate off of my stereo when I get somewhere, and then just like tuck it somewhere where no one can see it. I mean, that's it. But other than that, it's like I don't have anything in the car. It's not that big a deal. So I usually don't. That's a good question, because there's reason. If you had a really expensive car, you're running through a neighborhood like that, it's like, oh yeah, you never know. But still, it's just like you're just driving through the thing. I mean, it's not like anything's going to happen in the middle of the day, especially. I mean, just like, you got to be careful no matter where you go. I guess that's the bottom line. It's like you shouldn't just do it in certain neighborhoods and not others. Like, I'm always looking around and seeing if anything weird is happening. And if the car comes out from a corner, be careful to not hit it and stuff like that. It's just got to be always good to practice safety. And whatever. But all right, next question. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. Would you rather hook up with a 23-year-old girl who's a 4'5"? This thing with numbers, basically a medium attractive level 23-year-old girl, or a 60-year-old who's a 9 to 10, who's a 9 for being 60. So, in other words, would you rather go for a younger, and this is for the two of us, maybe way younger, younger lady who's not as attractive, or older lady who's very attractive for her age?
You didn't give a credit to the questioner.
That's from a couple quickies.
All right. Well, this is actually no-brainer to me, and he didn't even actually have to quantify it with the number 4, 5, or 9. The girls in their 20s have no idea what they're doing. 23, 24-year-old girls are whiny and annoying, and they talk too much. If you get a hot 60-year-old, my friend, I say run with it, go crazy. You know, you can't get her pregnant. That's not a good thing. You have to think about these kind of things. That's a key factor. So she's got experience. She can teach you some things. I know she's twice your age. I mean, she's not exactly twice my age, but it's pretty close.
Right.
She's going to be a lot more uninhibited, and if you have the bonus that she's a 9 on a scale of 10, I mean, I don't see how that's even a debate. Getting a subpar adolescent who has no idea how to please a man, opposed to a 60-year-old woman who has already gone through menopause and is probably just downright horny. It's a no-brainer for me to go with the 60-year-old.
You know, there's a lot of different ways to answer that question, but actually yes and no are the only ways to answer that question. But I'm the one that's sober tonight. Oh, baby. I mean, can you lose in either of those? I mean, I'm not as picky as a lot of other people.
Yes, you can lose. You can lose, and you know there's one word that I can show you.
Oh, yeah?
It's how you will lose. It's called a daddy.
Ooh. Okay.
You can call the daddy in one respect. You can't in the other.
I think, you know, I'm going to lean towards a 6-year-old in this one, too. Maybe if I was younger, I would feel kind of weird about it. I really don't. I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's one night, we're assuming, in this situation. It's,
right, exactly.
What's going to happen anyway? I mean, you know, and then you're going to forget the name of the lady, and she's going to forget your name after a few weeks. It's not a big deal. It really isn't a big deal. Unless you go on a, I mean, I think it's fun. Just think of it as fun. Junkman, your outlook on this is terrific. I think it's just exactly how you look at it. And like I said, it's not as if you're really going to run into this choice in your lifetime. But if you did...
You never know. You never know, Dave. And plus nowadays, man, 60, I mean, these ladies are doing yoga.
Yep.
They're eating right.
Yep.
I don't have to tell you. You're in Los Angeles. I'm sure there's 6-year-olds who look like they're 30.
Yeah. No, it's out there totally. Like, you'll see, you run into someone in the back, you're like, whoa. And then she turns around, like, whoa. And he's just kind of like, whoa, that's not bad for 60 or whatever the age is. So anyway, that's it. That's all I had for that question. Next question. Here we go. Okay, up next, random questions. This is from, I'm trying to find the question, Junkie. This is Kevin on the Cape. I'm Dave Medina. Random questions at 8:39. This is interesting. So this is a... Oh, here we go. A couple quickies asks, do you have any memories of video arcades?
Absolutely. We had a... It was called the Sweet Shop. It was right down the road from our house when I was little. Actually, that's where the bus used to drop us off, which is probably a big mistake. I wouldn't call it a video arcade. It was like a sandwich shop, but it had, in the back, it had anywhere from like 6 to 8 video games. And it was just awesome. You'd get off the bus and we would spend hours in that place. And they had like your normal, I mean, like, they only had like 6 or 8 games. So they obviously had Pac-Man, and Donkey Kong and stuff, but every once in a while they'd have some different, you know, they, Paperboy they always had, and they always had, Pole Position was another one, and, those were the four ones that they always had, and that was a blast. My brother and I used to go there all the time. Trying to think of some of the, they always had a couple of weird ones that they rotated out, that were more of like multi-level, multiplayer games that I can't remember the titles of them. I'm sure they've become movies now, and I've missed it. But that was my arcade experience for a few years.
You know, and the diversity of games in those days was pretty cool. Like, people were trying to come up with all sorts of different ideas with arcades. My memory of arcades is about the same. I mean, I got into it in the latter half of the 80s, so certainly I missed the golden age of video games. But what you had in those days was sort of like the old with the new. And you always held Pole Position and Pac-Man in the corner somewhere, you know, because it was so popular. It lived through generations. Like, you would keep it around, and that machine would get all old, but it's still there. It was still there for a while. So we had those, and we had the new games, like, in one side and in one corner, a lot of driving games. And then you had, like, somewhere, some ones in the middle, like, I don't know, like OutRun, and what's the one, that other one where you, oh, I'm trying to figure out, you know, the one with the motorcycle from Sega, I'm trying to figure out that one. But yeah, those games you had, and then later, like, you know, you introduced fighting games like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, and there was certainly a lot of evolution in those days when I was growing up with arcades. So I have fond memories there. The arcade I seemed to go to a lot was the one next to the miniature golf course. So you would actually have, like, arcades games adjacent to these carnival games where you could win tickets. So that was cool. You also had some air hockey tables. Really just the full experience, honestly, the full experience. By the way, that arcade's still there. I mean, it's a little different now. You know, the games are all new. You know, you got all these 3D things now, but it's still pretty cool. I mean, pretty much the same as it ever was. Perhaps not as buzzing as it was in the 80s and 90s, but that's sort of my memory of it. Junkie, you there, man?
Yep. Yep.
So there? Okay. Okay, so here you go. The next question and random questions. When you're ready, Junk Band, here we go. If you see two grown men in their 50s fighting, it's a fair fight, neither dominating. I guess they mean in the street. Do you try to break it up?
Wow, that's a terrific question.
yeah.
I'm just, give me a minute. I want to just try to picture that, because that's just an awesome visual. So there's two guys, like a parking lot, and they're going at it. I mean, if it's a real good fight, Dave, honestly, and nobody's getting, like, choked to death, and they're both getting their shots in, I think I'm standing by. I think I'm sort of watching and just kind of waiting for it to turn, you know. When it comes close to somebody getting choked out or just getting pummeled into the earth, then I step in. But if they're both getting their punches in and it seems pretty equal, I'm an observer. I'll cross my arms and watch until it comes time where I think somebody's, you know, severely threatened, you know, to be, you know, put into a coma or something like that.
Right. So you're of the opinion that if both guys have a good hand in it, you'll let it roll. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, let's be honest. I don't have cable. I mean, my entertainment, you know, is far and few between. So
right.
That would qualify as entertainment.
That would seem entertaining to me too. Maybe I'll sit down and watch that with you, with some popcorn and whatever. You know, they can handle themselves. That's the other thing about it. It's not like it's two kids, like two little kids. You know,
exactly. You know how refreshing it would be to see two men actually just fight without, like, you know, somebody else, you know, a group of somebody's friends beating on some guy. Or one hit, or somebody's got a weapon. Or
right.
All kind of crap. Two dudes going at it with their fists, you know, were equally matched. You know, that's old school. That's how it should be done. You got some guy, you know, makes a pass at your wife. You're supposed to go outside and you're supposed to settle it. You're not supposed to go home and get your gun, and you're not supposed to go get your friends. And, you know, it's supposed to be one guy and another guy. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it does kind of show that, you know, that people have gotten a little bit more, I don't want to say more of like pansies or what you want to call it, but it's definitely, it was definitely more, what's the word, macho? Or more authentic? Yes, I'm authentic. It was more authentic to have fights like that than fights with like a bunch of people piling on. Yeah, I dig. Kind of, I mean, to get into a fight in the first place, you got to be kind of out of your element for a lot of reasons. But anyway, just next question. Let me bring this into the fray. This is a funny question from our friend Jacob, and it's easier if he asks this, because I think you really got to say this question in his voice. But anyway, here it is. Are people on the forum weird for caring about a Hall of Fame of the forum and Dave not being in it? No, seriously, what the F are you guys talking about?
You're right, that would be better in his voice.
It would have been great in his voice.
And if he actually did ask that question live, there'd be way more curses.
Yeah, it's amusing. I don't. The Hall of Fame is, it's a subjective vote. I don't have an issue with it. I mean, I didn't even look at the Hall of Fame this year. I mean, I don't know who won Best Video or Best Smiley. I wasn't personally invested in it, to be honest. So it didn't matter. I was not at all that concerned. But I do appreciate all those who really wanted me in there, the Hall of Fame this year. I want to thank you for that. You guys are very kind to think that highly of me. I'm just throwing in random stuff on the message boards, really. Not doing anything more than that. But thank you. And it's certainly been really cool to know that many people care about me. I never really would have thought that when I signed on for the first time. So that was kind of cool. So that's it. Are you not a Hall of Famer yourself on that message board? Are you not in green, as they say? Like your name when you go on there, isn't your name green?
I believe it's in green. Is that what that means?
Yeah. Well, it should be, because I think you certainly are that. You are a Hall of Famer for all time, anywhere, not just on that message board, for wherever you go. Because your stories, man, your stories are so good.
However, I don't think that I think there are a few people whose names are in green, but I don't believe any of us were ever subjected to a vote like you were. That must be said.
Oh, interesting. I like this interest. This is a good.
I don't remember ever being voted on. So I think that is different a little bit.
I see.
Obviously, I think whoever decided to write my name in green, maybe they were just hammered. But it's kind of cool. But I also think it's, you had your whole name up there for everyone to vote on. I could be wrong. Maybe there was a vote and I wasn't paying attention, but I don't think that the people who have currently their names in green were ever voted on.
I see. Well, let me just flesh out what this all is for those who are not familiar with the message board. So basically, on a lot of message boards, you know, you get you have like certain posting statuses, like you've had so many posts, you become a certain category of poster, and if you're a veteran, you end up being a veteran, etc., a super administrator, whatever. But there was an addendum to that, which is called the end of year awards. But on top of that, you have different categories of message board posters from the message board called the MikeFrancesa.com. So one category is just regular poster, so just plain blue, so nobody's really, nobody's worse for the wear. Another category is administrator, where you can literally like start threads and delete comments and be a moderator. So that's in red. And then the third category is green, and those who are who we call Hall of Famers, people who either the administrators or the rest of the message board deems as a really valuable asset to the board. But it's all subjective, though. So those who have been nominated over the years, I don't think anyone's really argued with, at least in the old era. And then as you got into the new era, the way that the Hall of Famers were decided, that was at the discretion of the moderators. And then recently it had been put to a vote, and so that was a case in my case, which is, I just feel so weird kind of being put on a pedestal like that. Because it's like when you're in a beauty pageant, and this is what it felt like to me. Like, it felt like I was in the swimsuit competition in some sort of male beauty pageant. That's why it felt kind of awkward. You're kind of up there naked.
Maybe if you posted yourself in the swimsuit, you would have won.
I would not want to. No, that would have ended it right there. That would have been an easy vote for a lot of people if I actually did that. But the point is, that's the feeling I kind of had with that whole thing.
they already made one of those smiley things of you. I mean, that's huge. Forget Hall of Fame. I mean, how? Mm-hmm. If what other person who posts on that actually has a smiley? It's called a smiley, I think, of their face. I think you've got to be the only one. That's way more cooler than a name in green.
It's a lasting image too.
People are posting your face all over the place. That's awesome.
And I'm honored for that. That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm glad to. It's kind of neat that I've actually become a literal part of the message board now. I am like the smiley. That's kind of a cool thing. And I thank my friend Umberto's Clam House for setting that up. He has other smileys too, which he contributed to tmf.com. Wherever you are, hopefully you're listening tonight. Hope you're doing all right out there. Umberto's, hope we get you to hear from you again soon, whenever that may be. I don't know when that is. I think he's busy traveling. So anyway, that's a quickie explanation as to what the story is behind the Hall of Fame. Even message boards have their own Hall of Fame, and there can be voted on, and they can be, you know, they can be awarded, and sort of its own little thing. It's kind of interesting. So, all right, next question. Here you go. Do 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 do. We don't have any other questions. So write the word question followed by the question itself, and we'll just answer what we've got. I do have some additional questions, though. Let me think. I had some other ideas on my mind, too, and I can't think of anything right now, though. Let's try to think about other stuff. Yeah, I got nothing. Junkman, you have anything on your mind for me? Any questions that you have that you may be thinking of at the moment?
I'm pretty much drawing a blank, Dave.
Okay. Yeah, it's like that time, you know. Sometimes you have that moment where you're not really thinking of anything, and so that's sort of where I am.
Yeah, only because they were on such a great roll with the questions tonight. So I sort of was focusing on that.
Yeah.
That was a really, really strong, long way. It was like a 40-minute run of questions. That doesn't happen that often.
That's true. We really started early in the questions tonight, and we just kept on going. It was a pretty good hour. So we do have one more. This comes from a couple quickies. He asks, what's the better movie, Grease or Saturday Night Fever?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I actually will have to, be honest as usual, and I have never seen Saturday Night Fever.
Okay.
So, therefore, my answer is probably going to be Saturday Night Fever because I've seen Grease and it was god-awful. So, the other one can't be... It can't be worse.
That is good. That is good. Okay. Let me just get this one out of the way. I think by default, Saturday Night Fever wins. Grease is a really campy film. I mean, it can be a guilty pleasure, but Saturday Night Fever, I think, had more to it. It was a gritty movie, too. You know, that's the thing about it that's really funny. You don't realize, like, how gritty a movie really is. It's just like... people just think, oh, you're just dancing, having a good time. And it was, like, way more than that. Actually, there's some moments of that movie that's kind of dark, too. But you know, between the two, I feel like it might be the superior feature. I mean, is it good? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. It was just a backdrop for disco music, really. So, but between the two, I think it would be better. Okay, here we go. People want to know your picks for the weekend. AFC title game, NFC title game. So let's start with Patriots versus Broncos. We've talked about this matchup already. But as far as who wins, who do you like?
Yeah, I thought about this a lot today. As much as I fear the Belichick, Brady, just their ability to pull things out of their ass and do things that you wouldn't expect, you know, going for 4th and 18, those kind of things. And it seems like in these kind of games, things happen, you know, in their favor a lot of times. But I just think I just kept going back to the weapons that the Broncos have, and the fact that they're home was a big factor. I know they lost a big guy on their defense, and I know their coach isn't that great. But overall, I just kept in my mind imagining scoring plays and in big spots. And the weather's supposed to be okay out there. And I think the Patriots they'll have a lead for a while, you know, especially last week how the running game did so well, but. I'm just picturing Manning, you know, scoring late and then scoring late again, you know, 34, 24, something like that, like where the margin will be a little bigger than, the game will be closer than the final score, I guess is the best way to put it.
I got you. Broncos
win.
Good analysis, Junkie. It just seemed like that. I wouldn't surprise me at all if Denver pulled away in that game. I've just had a struggle. I honestly struggle with this game. I like Denver to win. I do. I think that would be the, you know, if you put money on it, you would feel safer if you picked Denver in that game. But man, you just never know what Brady and Belichick's gonna have to bring to the table. They always have a surprise. Somewhere along the line, recently that surprise was a running game. I mean, it's the thrill of the game. Like, we just don't know how it's going to end. So this game, I think, is close enough where that could happen, but we'll see. Oh, geez, we're down to like 2 minutes. Okay, so you've got in 2 minutes. Can you describe for me who you like in the San Francisco Seattle game?
I think the Niners win, but. One of these really cool, old-school kind of NFC 16-13, just like kind of bloodbath kind of game.
90 seconds.
Carried off, and it's all field position and things like that. And I don't really think anything crazy will happen to determine the winner. I just think it'll be sort of an attrition kind of game, and that's the Niners winning, you know, 3 or 4 tops, I think, you know, 17-13 or something like that.
Cool. Well, with that and the minute to go.
60 seconds.
That's our show. Junkie, I can't thank you enough for coming on tonight. Thank you so much for your time. I hope everything goes well for you the rest of the week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. All right, my friend. I didn't quite hear him, but... thanks, Junkie. That's that for the show. Thanks to everybody who joined us tonight. Jacob Rosales, Kevin on the Cape. That's the program. Have a wonderful time. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next time.